All right. Okay. You know, anybody ever heard of Rush Limbaugh? You know, he's a conservative talk radio host. Did any of you know that he offers a collection of ties called No Boundaries? There's some, they got a picture of them there, you know, man, they're wild, you know. It's certainly outside the limits that some guys would wear. But I like that label, No Boundaries. And that's what I want to talk about tonight is No Boundaries, okay? You know, the truth is, if any of us are going to accomplish anything, really, we have to move beyond the boundaries of impossibility to possibility. You know, Mark 9:23, I'm reading NLT. So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion. He fell on the ground, waiting, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us if you can. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief. Now, this story actually has boundaries in it. And then you see what can happen when the boundaries are removed. Now, first of all, he took this boy to the disciples, and they couldn't do it because of unbelief. You can read that back up in the 14th and 15th verse, I think, in Mark 3. And because he had given them the power to cast out devils, and you can read up above here back in the 9, you can read about it. Now, and then the father put limits on. When he came, you know, he'd done everything he could, and he even asked here, he didn't know whether Jesus could do anything or not. Hello? He wasn't. So then Jesus told him that if he could believe, and then he showed him what could happen if he would be turn that impossibility into a possibility. Now, we must be willing to remove the boundaries on our lives so that what is impossible with us now becomes possible. Okay? Charles Schwab says, when a man puts a limit on what he will do, he puts a limit on what he can do. So you must determine, you got to break through the boundaries that hold you back. Now let's think about what boundaries are holding us back from in the natural and also in the spiritual. Well, probably the first thing that's holding us back is our thinking. Are we thinking right? Are we thinking in line with the Word of God? Are we thinking, I can do it? My dad always told me to have a can-do attitude, you know. And because the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, you know. And then another boundary that we can have is our expectation. Yes, yes. Some people don't expect very much, and they don't get it. That's why we're always talking. That's why I'm always telling young people, set your goals high. My dad used to tell me, he said, son, set your goals high. Because if you set them low and reach all of them, you hadn't accomplished much. But if you set them high and reach part of them, you've done a lot. He said, set them high. You know, and another boundary is what you believe. That holds you back. Another boundary is what we say. We always, you know, you got to say the right things. You got to be confident. You got to speak in line with God's word. You got to, you know, I say it all the time. You got to say you can do it. You know, I tell the story all the time. You know how when I was going to Bible school and I was working a freight company and old Sims riding that line and he's asking everybody, can you do it? Can you do it? And he got to me. He said, Hagen, can you do it? And I said, yeah. He went on by, and a guy next to me rode in the carpool with me. We had a bunch of us all worked there together. And he said, you don't know how to do that. I said, yeah, but by tomorrow 2 o'clock I will. I said, first of all, the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Secondly, we got a lot. We didn't have internet back then. You're talking about what, 59? You know, my freshman year in school. And then I got a library I can go to and look up some stuff. And then I got a buddy that works in some similar job. And I'm going to call him as soon as I get off work. I'm going to call him and talk to him. I said, by the time I get here tomorrow, too, I know how to go do it. You see, what they said kept them where they were. What I said, when I got there the next day, he said, no, don't. You're not here today. You're over yonder. So I got a different job simply because I said it. And then some of you know, I preach a sermon about, you know, say to the mountain, you know. And then another boundary is our actions. Sometimes we can say the right thing, but we don't do the right thing. Come on now. Y'all are looking at me sort of funny, but it's the truth. You know, Pearl Buck said this, knowing your limits and then ignore them, said, all things are possible until they are proved impossible. Even the impossible may only be so as far as you know. You know, look around. We're constantly reading of somebody that has done something that was previously considered impossible. You know, I ran track in high school, and then I didn't run in college, but I kept up with track. I still like track and field. And they said it was impossible to run a 4-minute mile. But Roger Bannister did it. And since then, it's been cracked way down. You know, they said it's impossible. He didn't think it was. Do you realize when you begin to think in the natural, even when you begin to think something's not impossible, you most of the time can do it. And then the Word of God, if you go to the Word, it says it is always possible with God. Amen. Hello. Amen. You know, now Peter had to remove some boundaries to be successful in his life. Peter had to overcome the boundary of his vocation. You say, what are you talking about? Well, Luke 5, 3 through 7 in the NLT. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let your nets down for a catch. Master Simon said, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. But and this time their nets were so full they began to tear. They shouted for help, and their partners brought their boat, and soon both boats were filled. Now I want you to notice, he had to overcome his natural thinking in the boundaries of his vocation. They fish at night. They don't fish in the day. And then secondly, they had fished all night and they didn't catch nothing. So he could have told Jesus, he said, hey, you're a teacher. I'm a fisherman. Come on. You don't know nothing about fishing. You know, that's like, you know, Ben back there's running sound. Well, you know, I know what a soundboard is, and I probably can flip a switch and turn it on, but that's about all I can do because I don't know nothing about sound. But he probably don't want to come down here and preach either. He might could, but I mean, can you understand what I'm talking about? I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, And I was asking him something, and I said, hey, you take care of that, because that's what you do, and I'll take care of the theology part, because that's what I do. Hello. You know, see, And we have to overcome our boundaries of our natural thinking. Now, we see that again with Peter in Matthew 16, 15, 17. You know it, where he asked Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Well, he didn't get that through his natural thinking. And then Peter had to overcome guilt and shame after he had denied Jesus. He had to overcome that boundary. You know, you can read the whole story in Luke 22, 56 through 61. The whole story is there about the servant girl that saw him standing there and said, hey, that's one of Jesus' followers. And Peter denied it, you know. And then he realized what he had done, because the Lord had told him already that he had gone to deny him. And then he remembered it, and he left the courtyard weeping bitterly. Now, here, he's denied Jesus, but yet, when you get into the book of Acts, the first nine chapters are basically about Peter, and the rest of the book's about Paul. Hello? Now, you know, some of the other disciples might have wondered whether he could ever have done anything or not. Then he had to overcome prejudice, the boundary of prejudice, to preach to the Gentiles. Because remember, he went down there. Remember, Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He's preaching to Cornelius' household. That's where he said how God anointed Jesus and there's the Holy Ghost and fire. He went about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil. That's also where the Holy Spirit fell on them. But see, he was a Jew. Cornelius was a Gentile. See, he overcome his prejudice. And you can read about that in Acts chapter 10, starting about verse 9. The messengers came from Cornelius' house. Remember, Peter was on the housetop praying. And the Lord showed him all of these animals that were what were called, the Jews called, unclean, and so forth and so on. And then said to get up, told him to get up. No, Lord, declared, I've never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean. But the voice spoke in, do not call something unclean if God's made it clean. The same vision was three times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled into heaven. He was very perplexed. And about that time is when the people came from Cornelius' house asking him to come down there and preach to him. Hello? See, the truth is, Peter didn't break through all of these boundaries without God's help. See, if you're going to break through the boundaries, then you're going to have help from God. But see, I mean, it doesn't seem feasible that Peter could be used after denying Christ. And yet the Lord there in one place told him, go feed my sheep. Go take care of my people. In other words, he's saying, see, God worked in his life what many people saw would be impossible. It was possible. Many of you sitting here tonight, you're sitting here, and many of your friends and maybe even your family didn't say, oh, it's impossible for you to ever be anything. Come on now. But you are, because of God. God helped you tear those boundaries down. Okay? You know, that's why you need to be careful about evaluating somebody. You can't evaluate somebody correctly when it comes to what they can accomplish for God, if you don't figure in the God factor. Come on now. You know, I've said it many times. They bunch of us guys going to Bible school, we were 18 and 19 year old kids. We didn't do anything wrong, but we were mischievous. We did crazy things, you know. And yet, in fact, I was talking to Johnny Hayes. He's my friend. He's from Tulsa. He lives in California. And I was in school with him. I was in school with John Hagee. And I was in school with Nick Harris, that used to be He retired now, but he was the pastor of First Methodist Church in Oklahoma City. Some of you may have heard him on KNYD several years ago. He had the regular Methodist service at early service, and then the second service was a charismatic service at his church, and the superintendent didn't know what to do with him, to tell you the truth about it. But because they sent him there from another church and told him, if you don't do something, get this church going, we're going to have to close it. And he got it going all right. But you know, and I was talking to John, y'all call him John, I call him Johnny Hagee. That's what we called him. He's my friend, still is my friend. But then I was talking to Johnny Hayes here just the other day. You know, nobody would have ever thought that. In fact, I said this to Hagee one day. Nobody ever thought that we would have, Hagee, Hayes, we would have ever done anything. Because they, you know, they're not looking at things the way God looks at things. You know, if you will just open up, God will help you to tear down the boundaries and become somebody. You know, just because, and that's another thing, just because kids are a little mischievous doesn't mean they're bad kids. Some of you need to remember when you were young. I get a little disgusted, as I have over the years, because I dealt with youth back when I was associate pastor. I was with youth all the time, and I still like the youth. But, you know, I told one guy one day, I said, hey, you're too hard. Remember you were a boy one time. You know, I mean, sometimes some people that's another subject, but teaching on raising kids, but it won't hurt you anyway. Hello. You know, Dr. H.A. Holmes said this, in Know Your Limits and Then Ignore Them. Never tell a young person that something cannot be done. God may have been waiting for centuries for someone ignorant enough to know of the impossibilities to do that thing. They don't know about that it's impossible, so they go do it. You know, my dad used to tell me, and I told my kids the same thing, with you and God, you can do anything and be anything you want to be. Hello. Now, all of us have boundaries that keep us from being all that God wants us to be. Our attitudes can be a boundary. An attitude of unforgiveness will create a limit on what your faith can accomplish. Go read Mark 11:25. Everybody stops at 24. It says when you stand praying. But you go read 25 and it says, when you're praying, forgive. An attitude of doubt is a boundary that's got to be broken if you want to achieve the impossible. And then many people's lives are locked down by the attitude and boundary of, I can't do it. And they don't ever achieve what God wants them to accomplish. You know, you've heard me say it all the time. Miss Fowler, my first grade teacher, I can see her today writing on that blackboard. Don't ever say can't. Because one of the guys, she said something to him and he said, I can't. And she said, kids, don't ever say I can't, because you can if you put your mind to it and try. You know. And then there's another boundary that hinders people, both in the, and I want you to realize that this is both talk, tonight I'm talking natural and spiritual. I don't know whether you ever noticed, but I like, on Wednesday night, I like to talk to you from the same things that it'll help you spiritually and it helps you naturally. Because God wants you to be successful in both areas, not just spiritually. He wants you to be successful in the natural. Go look at Abraham. A boundary that can really hinder you spiritually and naturally is the people you hang with. You need to be careful of who your constant companions are. 1 Corinthians 15:33 in the New King James says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." In the NIV, I'm going to read several translations of that. The NIV says, "Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." The NLT says, "Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character." The New Century Version, "Don't be fooled. Bad friends will ruin good habits." The Contemporary English Version, "Don't fool yourself. Bad friends will destroy you." Now, you know, those, we need to take heed of that. You can't hang around with people that are always talking doubt and unbelief and keep a strong faith. You can't hang around with people that are always talking negatively and keep a positive attitude in life about doing anything. Hello. Amen. You know, if you hang around with the ducks and quack like a duck, some pretty soon you're going to act like a duck. I mean, that's a funny statement, but it's the truth. Now, I want you to listen to this. Everybody that you hang around with, that you surround yourself with, your friends and the people you have, they will either subtract from you, divide you from others, multiply your possibilities, or add to what you can do. That's a good statement. Now, listen to it. Make sure you identify each relationship correctly so it does not hurt you, but helps you. There's some people you need, "Oh, well, maybe I can help them." Hey, listen. Don't hang with people. You maybe can talk to them a little bit, but if you hang with them too much, you're going to get spoiled yourself. You have to, here's another thing. You've got to ignore what other people think that you can do and pursue what you believe you can accomplish. You know, some people have more trouble than another. I guess my dad put it a lot in me, and then a part of it's just in our DNA. I mean, all my cousins and everybody, and I see it in my son. I see it in my grandsons. I just believed I could. You know. I step on a running track, junior in high school. Somebody said, "Hey, you know, so-and-so ran, he's in this race. He ran such and such a time." I said, "I don't care. I'm going to beat him today." You see, if you start entertaining that thought, you won't win. I coached a little kid. I there in Garland when I was associate pastor down there. I coached a little kid, and they had a big, it was an all city track deal, PARD, they called it the PARD. And I had the only school, all the other schools, there's two schools that I had, and I had the 9 and 10 year olds, and I had one school to pull from, and you had two, those guys had two schools to pull from. I told them, I said, they said, "Coach, they got more people to pull from. They this, that." I said, "Forget about that. We're going to go out there and we're going to win." We did take second place, but in the thing, but a lot of my boy actually, you know, in track, you can have guys that win the race, but you still don't win the whole track meet because the other guys getting second or third place gets points too. And so they had more people to run in the event than I did. That's the only reason we got second. But I had this little old boy, and his dad came to me and he said, "Hey," and he named the other kid. He said, "They've been running in this meet since they were, what were they, 9-year-olds now? I guess they were, what, fourth graders, I guess. They've been since the first grade, and he beats him every time." I told him, "If you won't tell him that every day and let me deal with him, he'll win the 100-yard dash." It was 100-yard, not 100 meters back then. And so I kept telling him that he could do it. I got him believing in himself. Hello. You got to believe in yourself before you can accomplish it. Even with the Word of God, people can tell you about it, and you say, "Okay, yeah, 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 yeah." But if you're just saying, "Yeah," you don't believe it, ain't going to happen. Hello? So we get there, and they run the two plims, and I was hoping they didn't draw the same, and they didn't. The other boy ran the first plim race, and we had the second plim race. And after it's over, I pulled him aside, and I said, look here. "Look here, Trace. There's his time, and there's your time." And he said, "But I wasn't even running hard. I just run in to qualify." I said, "I know it." He said, "I can beat him, can't I?" And he did. You see, often you have to ignore what other people are saying and go accomplish. I had another little old boy. Freeman was his name. He went out there and he wasn't fast, but he wasn't slow. But I got to notice that when we were running warm-up laps that he ran the same pace the whole time. I said, "Freeman, you're going to run a mile." He said, "Well, how do I practice for that?" I said, while we're working on everything else, the 100 and the high jump and the broad jump and all, while we're doing all that, I said, "I just want you to run as many laps as you can, as fast as you can." So I'd look over and there he was running. And he run the same pace the whole time. I said, "How many laps you run today?" "Oh, I think I got 10, 12. And by the end, he was running 20 or 25 laps as hard as he could go. So we got to the race. And I said, "Freeman, all you got to do is run 4 laps as hard as you can go." He said, "Only 4? He said, "I can do that." So they took off running. And the first lap, I mean, he went way out front. All the other coaches said, "Oh, he'll wear out." I just started laughing to myself. We come around the second lap, and now he's a half a lap in front of everybody. And they said, "Well, they'll catch him. When the other boys start to kick, they'll catch him." They come around the third lap, and he was almost a whole lap ahead of everybody. And he lapped some of the kids coming in on his last lap. He lapped some of the kids. And the coaches, they couldn't believe it. They said, "What in the world did you do to that kid?" I said, "Well, he can't run fast and he can't jump. But I said, I found out that he could run that same pace that you saw him run. He can run it all day. He can go out there and run it for 20 laps if he has to." And their mouths just hung open. But I told him, I said, "Hey, they told you couldn't." See, they had told him when he come out, some of them said, "Oh, you can't do nothing, Freeman. You know, you can't do it." I think even his folks told him that. But he took home the medal. I told him, don't pay attention to what anybody else says. In fact, when we lined up to run, because the other kids knew him, you know, kids know one another in the town. They started laughing and said, "We'll beat you. We always do." I just laughed. Because, see, I got those boys ignoring what people were saying about them and doing and going out and accomplishing. You're going to have to ignore what people say and go accomplish. You're going to have to ignore about what the devil said and go accomplish. In the first place, what are you listening to him for? He can't do nothing but lie anyway. Hello. Oh, I'm over time. I'm sorry. Another boundary that hinders us is our past experience. See, some people never achieve anything today because they're too busy living yesterday. Reliving what happened yesterday. What happened yesterday is all history. It can't be changed. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent, don't make no difference. It's history. What happens today, you can achieve today, but you're not going to achieve today if you're always reliving yesterday. John Mason said, in knowing your limits and then ignore them, he said, what's a sign of stagnation in your life? Now let me tell you. When you dwell on the past at the expense of your future. And then, of course, our words are boundaries. And we've already talked about that a little bit. You know, Gloria Swanson said, never say never. Never is a long, undependable thing, and life is too full of rich possibility to have restrictions placed on it. That's a pretty good statement right there. See, words are powerful. They determine our destiny. And another boundary is what you read, watch, and listen to. See, I got them kids to quit listening to what others are saying and listening to what I was saying. See, you can't constantly feed on trivial things and think you're equipped to accomplish something. John Osteen said this. In his book, Moving On Up. Thoughts are like seeds. When they're planted, they bring forth after their own kind. Most people are a product of what they've been listening to, the books they've been reading, and the people they've been hanging around with. That's what influences you. And then, let me quickly go, I'm over time. That's all right, I'm going to finish anyway. Another boundary is our excuses. Our excuses. Some people, you know, make an excuse and say, well, I'm limited. I can't accomplish anything. But the truth is, we're all limited in some way. We can all sing that song. So just forget it. By making excuses for your limitations, you just add another boundary. We all have to learn to overcome our limitations, live beyond the limitations, and learn to accomplish in spite of. Just because there are limitations and boundaries in our life doesn't mean that we can't rise above them. Remember, we were reading, all things are possible with God. You know, also, Luke 18:27, what's impossible with what is in NLT said, what is impossible for people is possible with God. The contemporary English says, there are some things that people cannot do, but God can do anything. Amen. All right? Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Amen. See, I want you to go ahead and face the boundaries and kick them out. Amen. You know? All right, praise the Lord. Father, I talked to the people for a few moments about boundaries that are keeping them from spiritual success and also natural success. Help us, Father, to take these things and use them as tools to help us to accomplish everything that you want us to accomplish. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, stand up. Praise God. I trust that you receive something tonight from this. Actually, I putting it together, I really received a lot of for myself. Because, hey, just because I'm the preacher doesn't mean that I don't face problems and situations and deal with situations. And I was ministering to you tonight out of things that just minister to me because of situations that I'm dealing with. Hello. And I trust they helped you. Anybody get something that you can use out of this tonight that can help you? Because we all deal with things, right? Everybody that breathes God's oxygen, we deal with stuff. There are boundaries that keep us locked down. Well, let's kick the boundaries. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, number one, the first boundary you're going to have to kick is the boundary of being bound by Satan. And that's come and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're in here tonight and you've never done that, we want to ask you to come and do so. If you're in here tonight and after I spoke, you realize that you're not where you should be with God and you need to kick the boundary and get back where you should be. Or if you're in here and you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you want somebody to pray with you about any reason whatsoever, the ladies are here and the men are over here. As we're dismissed, come down here. They'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, remember all the announcements. Go back there and sign up. Hey, go get that discount card. It's good till May of 2018 and 17, and it can be used over and over and over again. It's not just a one-time use. And $10 is not much to pay when you start looking at all the things you can get there. You know, some of the places that you go to eat, well, if you order one entree, you get a free appetizer, all kinds of discounts there. So go, and that the NRC over there in the school, you know, the NRC, Byron runs it itself, and all of those proceeds help him to keep the NRC going over there. And for you that don't know it, there is workout rooms up there, and church members can go there and work. Any of you go over there and take advantage of that workout? Some of you do. There's the dead weights and the machines, running track. There's aerobic machines up there. So and that's a good running track because when they built it, I went and ran it because I'm an old track man. And I said, no, that's too steep. No, that's not steep enough. I made them get the corners where you run good around the corner, you know. Any of you run the track over there? Yeah. It's a good track, isn't it? And you can walk on there too. 8 times around is a mile, all right? But as a church member, you don't even have to pay nothing. You can go over there and work out, and you don't have to pay nothing like you do going down here to them gyms. And then besides that, it's all Christians over there and all Christian atmosphere. That's a big deal too. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Remember all the announcements. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I'm going to kick my boundaries. How about you? If you need prayer for any reason, come to the front right now. If you need prayer for any reason, come to the front right now. We'll see you Sunday right here. Remember, at water baptism, if you want to be baptized, to go out there in the north lobby. God bless.